When Nabopolassar died, his son was leading troops against the Egyptians in Syria. And this region to the west remained important even after the fall of the Assyrian state, for the same strategic reasons that had originally drawn the Assyrians: access to western ports, the possibility of tribute. And a further complication had arisen. Now Egypt was becoming more powerful, especially now that Assyria was out of the picture, and they were equally eager to control the region. So Egypt would often join in, or sometimes even instigate, rebellions against Babylonia in this particular region of the Near East. When Nebuchadnezzar was in Syria, Egypt had recently annexed the region, and Nebuchadnezzar, as soon as he found out about Nabopolassar's death, and this happened shortly after he had led an important victory at Carchemish in Syria in 605. And so Nebuchadnezzar had to leave basically the battlefield to return to Babylon and to be crowned, so to ensure an easy succession. Then he returned west to Syria. Nebuchadnezzar would spend most of the next decade there, pushing Egypt out and back to its borders further south. And it is during this time that he would attack the city of Jerusalem. Much of the evidence for Nebuchadnezzar's rule comes from biblical accounts that describe his attack on Judah. The king of Judah, Jehoiakim, refused to pay tribute to Babylonia against the advice of his advisor, the prophet Jeremiah. According to 2 Kings, Nebuchadnezzar himself came up to the city while his officers were besieging it. Jehoiakim, king of Judah, his mother, his attendants, his nobles, and his officials all surrendered to him. As Yahweh declared, Nebuchadnezzar removed all the treasures from the temple and from the royal palace, and took away all the gold articles that Solomon, king of Israel, had made for the temple. He carried into exile all Jerusalem, all the officers and fighting men, and all the craftsmen and artisans, a total of 10,000. Only the poorest people in the land were left. Nebuchadnezzar set up a supposedly loyal ruler, Zedekiah, but 11 years later, as supposedly loyal rulers were wont to do, Zedekiah too revolted in 587. And this time, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the city. He burnt the temple of Solomon and took all of the remaining votives and temple equipment back to his palace. He also deported most of the remaining population back to Babylonia. They would stay there for the next 50 years until Cyrus of Persia allowed them to return. One of Nebuchadnezzar's most significant victories was his capture of the port city of Tyre in Phoenicia, modern Lebanon, after a 13-year siege. We've talked before about how expensive sieges of cities would be, and there's not much recorded about this event, but it must have been monumentally costly. Few enemies attempted to besiege Tyre because in antiquity it was an island, so it was even more challenging for an army to try and cut off its supplies on both sea and land. The last part of Nebuchadnezzar's rule is not well known, but the period after his death shows much turmoil. We will turn to this period in the next lecture. Let's turn now to Nebuchadnezzar's building projects, and specifically his attention to Babylon. It was this city that became famous far west when Greek visitors traveled and described it. So it's the 6th century Babylon that Herodotus described, praising that the design of the city was different than any other city in the known world. Herodotus, rightly, as we will see, focused on the defensive walls, which were very impressive.